Your Bible, as we are in the study of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah and chapter 14. And if you keep in mind that in the beginning, when God created the earth, Genesis 1, threw all the stars into space, just like that, created the bugs, birds, bees, butterflies, people, humans. And when it was all done, he said, "It is very good. What I have done all around is very good. All of the good is meant for good." Now, in the light of that, humanity wasn't too happy for that good, to exercise it. God had a wonderful plan and purpose for every human being. But they were not lined up with his thinking, and they didn't want his involvement. They excluded God. So now, God raised up Israel. Israel was to be a nation, a people, a nation for all the nations of the earth to look at, to understand God's wonderful good. And God gave them good land, good everything. And Israel was to demonstrate God's wonderful goodness, his wonderful plan and purpose. Israel picked up the disease from their own heart, flesh, from all the people copying and doing what others did instead of looking to God, and thus they went into captivity, etc., as we've been studying in Jeremiah chapter 14. Babylon is coming and will do in a series of events destroy the city. Now, Israel, God meant it for wonderful good. Israel was to be blessed. You cannot read the beginning without reading all about a good land, good water, good minerals, everything. Good gold, good silver, everything they needed was good. And they were to have that wonderful surplus to demonstrate to the world that God is not stingy and God is marvelously abounds in everything he does. So it's a wonderful thing. So when God says he's going to do something, that's an awesome thing just to even consider it. So here they are, Israel. And Israel, do you remember your purpose? Nope. And they went, and Jeremiah, they went and forgot. They forgot. And thus in chapter 14, we share together, I'll read verse 10, we've done it, but verse 10. "Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander, they have not restrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them, and he will not, he will now," N-O-W, "remember their iniquity and visit their sins." So Israel has forgotten. They were warned repeatedly in Deuteronomy not to forget. Forget God. Forget his goodness and his mercy and his wonderful plan for their life. And they did forget. And they don't remember. Now God remembers. God remembers his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God also remembers, he said, "If you honor me, if you honor me, I will honor you, and you will be blessed. If you don't honor me, you'll be cursed." And God remembers. And they are not honoring God at all. So now, and we looked at that last time to see God's wonderful, wonderful thing of what our relationship is when it comes to God. And we shared together in the light of that in like we shared together in Habakkuk 3 in that. In Habakkuk, remember, is looking down, as it were, at Jerusalem and Judah, the same as Jeremiah is. The Habakkuk's doing the same thing. So when he looks, he understands what's going on, and in the process, he cries out in his prayer, Habakkuk 3 and verse 2, "In wrath, God, remember mercy." That's what he prays. Please remember mercy in the midst of wrath. Wrath is inevitable, but, and judgment. Judgment is necessary. Unbelief and idolatry make for judgment. And God, judgment is a great help to people. Now, I'll say it another way that you do know. You all experience in some form or another pain. Pain is a wonderful, wonderful thing God has done for you to know when something's wrong. Guilt is something wonderful to know when something's wrong, when you're guilty, when you have pain. Judgment is a wonderful thing. Now, and judgment not only helps us understand that we can't keep going in the wrong direction, judgment also causes us to awaken to repentance, to fix things. We get pain and we try to fix it. We go on guilty and we should try to fix it correctly, looking to God. That's where the grace of God comes in. God's grace is given to take care of our guilt. Now, having said that, over if you would please, one other, coming right back here, over if you would to 1 Corinthians and in chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And to say it quickly, and which we studied, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and remember we said, God, you don't forget, and yet you do forget, we share that. And God, you do remember. When we fail to remember, you do. Now, God, that's why we have the Lord's table. We do this in verse 25, 26 of chapter 11. Do this in remembrance of me. We do it as often as you do it. For what reason? To put yourself in, don't forget me. Don't forget. How can you know any of the goodness? How can you know any of the wonderful will, God's will for your life, if you forget? It doesn't happen without God. It isn't even conceived of in our little brain without God. We couldn't conceive of such things. We go to school, graduate, have a job, and do whatever in society, in whatever way we do, and then we sort of fade away. Now, so back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we share together, God, we don't want to forget, and we don't want to have what Israel is facing. They're facing the judgment of God, and God remembers, and now he's going to bring judgment upon them. So, God, here we are, and we take the Lord's table, remember, do this in remembrance of me. And in that same context, chapter 11, as you would know, verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Israel, judge yourself, and I will not have to judge you, said God. You don't judge yourself as guilty. I will. So, and verse 32. And when we are judged, we are chastened, disciplined of the Lord. Why? That we should not be condemned with the world, because we, if we know the Lord as our Savior, we are not illegitimate children. We're legitimate children that need discipline. Otherwise, we are condemned with the rest of the world. So God, what do we need to do? A, at least one thing. God, Israel didn't remember, forgot. God, you do remember, and you do act. If you belong to God, Hebrews 12, if you're a child of God, God said, if I love you, I'm going to discipline you. Otherwise, you're illegitimate, a bastard, as it says. You don't belong to me. You can do what you want. You're already judged. The wrath of God already what? Abideth on you. So I don't need to do any more. So here we are looking, God. So we want to learn from that. So God, I got that part a little bit in my head. That God, I don't want to go, I want to make sure I'm judging myself. We confess our sin, faithful and just, to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, back over if you wish to Jeremiah chapter 14. And Israel, remember now, Jeremiah is aligned with God's thinking and concern, and he's lined up with it. He wished he didn't have to line up that way. He wished it would be different for Jerusalem and Judah, but it isn't. And so he lines his heart up as a part of the remnant. The rest of the nation of in Jerusalem and Judah, Israel, is not lining up. But Jeremiah is. And Jeremiah is lined up with God in a most wonderful way. Therefore, and you need to be lined up with God. In order for the good, how's the good going to come? It has to come from God. We leave God out, there is no good. Just think of, as you know, G-O-O-D, and take God, G-O-O-D, out of it, and all you got is a zero, a big zero. Now, over if you would please in Jeremiah chapter 14, may I pick up, please, in verse 11. Then, in the light of that, I will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then, said the Lord, in answer to Jeremiah's looking to him in verse 7, 8, and 9, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Don't pray for their good. Hang on to that. Don't pray. I'm not going to remember. I'm going to remember the sin, iniquity, and don't pray, Jeremiah, for this people for their good. Now, just to get the flow of it again so you can follow as we've been looking, and the people are listening, Jeremiah's heart has expressed it in writing, etc. Chapter 7, Jeremiah. Chapter 7, if I can. And please go with me. Oh, you'll familiar, remember it, we were there. Chapter 7, verse 16. Jeremiah 7, 16. Therefore, what's God say? Pray not, that's not say, there we are. Pray not, thou, for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. So, God, you already clued in Jeremiah, but Jeremiah is going to work it through in his own heart. God, you said it right up front, but Jeremiah has to work through it the same as we do. We're looking for God's will. We pray, we know what it should be, and then we pray again, and we think again, and go through it again, and eventually it sinks in. So here in verse chapter 7 and in verse 16, over if you would please to pick up the thought, chapter 29, just to follow it a little bit. In chapter 29, don't pray. Now remember, don't pray for Jerusalem. Don't pray for Judah. Don't pray for Nebuchadnezzar to back off from leveling the city and the temple. Don't pray about that. But you're going to go into captivity, judgment. Pray for that. Chapter 29. In verse 7, and seek the peace of the city, that's for Babylon, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, Pray for Babylon. That's right. Don't pray for Jerusalem. Pray for Babylon. Pray for Babylon. For in the peace thereof you shall have peace. So you pray, just like in Timothy, pray that we be able to live a godly life in a world that's all kinds of mixed up, so that we have a measure of freedom, which is our American founding fathers and all of that sought to produce, so that we can pray and have a life pleasing to the Lord freely, like we are tonight, be able to gather together. Now, so what are you going to do? A, Israel, you're going to have to stop praying for Jerusalem, and you're going to have to start looking to pray and thank God that He's judging you and sending you to Babylon. And I want you to pray for that city, but not Jerusalem. No, not Jerusalem now. You're going to pray for that city. You're going to pray for what I'm going to judge you in the judgment. Remember mercy, God, and therefore in my judgment, you make sure you look to me for my mercy. In Babylon, a wicked, idolatrous city, you as a nation are what? Are going to learn, and you never repeat it even today. We shared it 100 times. Israel, Judah, Jerusalem was thrown into the very heart of idolatry. You realize Babel, Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18, what is that? That is the heart of our world. The world in which we live, the center of it is going to be in that Babylon coming up in over there. And it's the center of the world for idolatry. Idolatry. Where did you send Babylon? Where did you send Jerusalem? Into Babylon. Into the center of idolatry. And they never repeated it again once they learned their lesson. And you have a hard job finding as a people, the Jewish people, as a worshiping Jehovah Witnesses or something else. That doesn't mean individuals may not. But as a group of people, you won't find them doing that. They don't want anything to do with anything. They don't want anything to do with Allah or anybody. Now, so here in Jeremiah, thus in chapter 7, and verse 20. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem and to Babylon. And so we're to be encouraged and look to God. And Israel was to do that and to understand it isn't going to be whatever. You're going to have to pray for the new conditions. You got the old conditions, and now you're going to have new conditions. The old, gone. You're going to have to look to God in the new ones and pray for peace in the midst of that. You aren't going to fix it. Our country, etc. The world. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over if you would please, to Deuteronomy. Oh, by the way, chapter 14 of Jeremiah. Chapter 14, and picking up, if I may, in verse 11 again. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Don't pray for this people in the direction of looking for them to have good, good, good. What the good? Now here we are looking at the word good, good. And the word has to do with being prosperous, to enjoy life, to enjoy the fullness of life, to enjoy the blessing, well-being, welfare. Be good, have a good everything, well-being, fruitful, fullness, plenty, prosperity, position, peace. Wow, that's good. Don't pray for that. Don't pray for that. I'm going to take Jerusalem down. Don't pray for that. Pray for Babylon where you're going to go. But you aren't going to get it in the land. I'm going to take it away. Pray not for this people for their good. That means when they go to Babylon, and they did, they never had what they could have had in Jerusalem. They lost it. It wasn't lost totally, but it was lost for the moment. They couldn't have the good that God had for them in Babylon. They had to have the good in God's will for their life, which was Jerusalem. Now, having said that, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy and chapter 30. And you'll please note, Israel, before they crossed the Jordan River into the land, God had given them the instructions and the benefits. And he reminded them not to forget God. And he also reminded them, chapter 30, verse 5, "And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, God will do you good, and multiply thee above thy fathers." Verse 9. "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for good." Now that's the word you're looking at. Don't pray for good. "And but God, you promised it." He did. Absolutely, he promised it. "For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good," there's the same word, "as he rejoiced over thy fathers." Now, verse 15. "See, I have set before thee this day." Here they are, they have to make a choice. Either choose life and good, there's your word, or death and evil, troublous times. Now you have to make a choice. What's going to be your choice? Down to verse 30, verse 19. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that thou and thy seed may live." So God told them what to do. He told them the choice, and he made the decision of what the choice was to be. Choose life. Choose good. Choose good. "God, but you're saying now, by way of Jeremiah, don't pray for this people for their good. But God, you meant so much wonderful good for them." Absolutely, I did, I did. Back over to Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is the people of Jerusalem and Judah are not remembering, are not paying attention to these wonderful truths. So Jeremiah chapter 7, picking up chapter 4 first. Chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And picking up, if I may, directly you'll pick it up, the movement in the light of the context. Verse 22. "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish." The word sottish has to do with stupid. Foolish are our English words. "For the people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge." So the people were to know good and do good, but Israel didn't know God, and they don't know any good to do. All they know is bad stuff, like in the days of the Genesis flood. They did evil continually. Now, in the light of that, chapter 5. Chapter 5. And so far, Israel is knowing something. We know things, and we forget them. And, hang on, because it'll come together, I hope. Jeremiah chapter 5. Picking up, if I can, in verse 25, a context again. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Don't pray for good. I'm not going to do it. They're not going to know any good. They're going to know evil. They're going to know the absence of good, the absence of God. They're going to know what it's like to be without God. Wow. And remember, the lake of fire, hell, is a place where you go, people go, forever, to find out what it's like to be without God forever. What is it like to be without God? No love, no joy, no peace, no good. That's where it's headed. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and Jeremiah, the Israelites in Jerusalem and that, they don't understand good. They aren't after good. They don't even want anything to do with good. Chapter 6. Remember, God told them, verse 16, 6 and 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, stop, pay attention to which direction you're going, and ask for the old paths, get your life right, get your act right. Where is the good way? It's the good way, and walk therein in the good way. And when you walk in the good way, you'll find rest unto your souls, you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So you see, their heart is set. They don't want to know good. They don't want good. And they're going to keep going in the wrong direction until we hit Jeremiah chapter 14. Don't pray for their good. Don't even mention their good. There's no sense. Hang on to that. Now, chapter 7. And in chapter 7, may I pick up, please. You'll remember the Jeremiah, the message. He's standing at the temple, and as the people go in and out, he keeps giving them the same message. And in chapter 7, and in verse 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amen, your ways and your doings. Little word amen. Good, good. Fix it. Do well. Get going. Be prosperous. Seek to do the good thing, the right thing, in the right way, and do well. Amend your ways and your doing, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. But are they, God, you tell them to do good, but they don't even know good, and they don't want good. Verse, over if you would, in chapter 7, verse 5. If you thoroughly good, amend your ways, turn around from doing wrong and doing right, doing good, not bad, your ways and your doings. If you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, they had to get their act right. They weren't doing good. They weren't thinking good. It isn't going to come out good, no matter how you cut the cookie. Chapter 8. Chapter 8. And so far we haven't got one indication in all of this ministry, in all of these months going by, are you guys ever paying attention to what is being said and what's happening? Things are going in the same direction and we become indifferent to them. I just titled the thing for the conference, Apostasy and Apathy. Apostasy is departure from truth. And apathy is indifference. What do we have? We have the absence of truth, and people are indifferent of its absence. Does it make any difference? It isn't around? Nope. Apathy. Wow. So now, in Jeremiah, if I can, chapter 8, and in verse 15. We looked for peace, verse 15, but no good, there's your word, came for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Well, but are you guys going to wake up? Well, listen, the solution, the plan that you have, the country has some, it isn't working. Are you going to, you know it isn't working. Are you going to fix it, change it? No, we're going to keep going in the same direction, even though there's no good. It's trouble, more trouble. Are we going to fix it? Nope. Going to keep right on going. Now, and so here in Jeremiah and chapter 10. And picking up our thought again, in chapter 10, picking up in verse 5. The about idols. What do you know about the stuff you're trusting in? They are upright as the palm tree, an idol, but it can't speak. They must needs be born or carried. Idols are not alive and move around. They cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. So our system, we're looking for good to come. Good, good. Where are we going to look? Well, we're trusting this and that and that and this. Where's the good going to come from without God? And we get disappointed, discouraged, and we try to change it and fix it, but we aren't fixing anything. So now, having said that, chapter 13. In chapter 13, picking up, if I may, in again as we studied, verse 23. Chapter 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Nope. The leopard his spots? Nope. Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil? Nope. You aren't going to change. You aren't going to change. You're locked in a given direction. And thus you come to chapter 14, verse 11. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Don't pray for their good. It isn't going to work. Over, if you would, to see it, chapter 17, one other place, chapter 17, picking up, remember, the curse like a tumbleweed in the desert, and I'll read verse 5, thus saith, 17, 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. It shall not see good, no good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. There's no good. The heart that's going to leave God out, contrast, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. On the contrary, it's a wonderful blessing. And verse 8, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. For no, don't have to worry about the weather or anything. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall it cease from yielding fruit. God, that's the contrast, good and not good. And if you leave God out, you're like a desert tumbleweed. In the process. Or you're going to look to God and be like a tree planted by waters. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would please, to book of, now having got that, there's good, wonderful good, God meant it for good, God has a wonderful plan for Israel, they're missing out. God, is it ever going to come? It's going to come, don't worry, but not before judgment. Judgment must precede before blessing. And thus, God turns around to whosoever and said, blessed are you. How could he even say that? Because he already died on the cross and took your sin and mine in his own body on the tree. The judgment he bore made possible the good news, that good news for you and me. Good news. Now, Romans chapter 2. Romans in chapter 2. So God, here we are, and we're trying to get a handle on this. Israel isn't at the moment, and we're going to look at it, not at the moment maybe, but God, don't pray for their good. Well, how do we pray for Jerusalem? How do we pray for Israel? Question. We'll answer it, but not at the moment. Now, chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, may I pick up and get in the verse 3. Romans 2, 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Going in the wrong direction, encouraging others to go in the wrong direction. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance, his delay in holding back, his long suffering, long before getting angry, not knowing, don't you know that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Don't you know that? Don't you know that God meant for good? Now hang on to that little bit. God meant it for good. Over, if you would please, to Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, it's all about God's wonderful provision because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Romans chapter 8, picking up if I may, and may I go directly to verse 28. We know, what do we know? Believers, what do believers know? That all things work together for, and what? Good. All things work together for good. To them that love God, because you want God's will, and you want God's good. You don't want your good and things that work in your life that would make you happy and make you go forth, not what you and I want, it's what God wants. We love God. We love Him because He first loved us. Verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You have a wonderful plan and purpose for every human being. You're meant it that way. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how it started out. That's how it's meant to be. Well, that then, God, so when we come to know you as our Savior, we're supposed to get back in tune with you for your good, for your glory, for our good, as it were. Now, so knowing all things work together for good, and the good being, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to mark out ahead of time, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, mark out ahead of time, them he also called, whom he called, them he also justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God, we want to look to you. Israel is not. They're going to have to go into Babylonian captivity. They're going to have to do that in order to get right, in order to get their act right. It's going to lead to that. Now, in the light of that, working together for good, and if you're a believer, then you want to understand that. Hang on to that. Are you a believer? A, answer that, yes or no. Am I really a believer? Answer that, yes or no. Is Jesus Christ in my life and heart? Yes or no? Now, if you said yes, then you have God's good. God gave you the good that He had in mind in His Son, Christ Jesus. Hang on to that. Now, over, if you would please, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, and chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we just read in Romans that his plan is to make us to enjoy the privileges, the benefits, the bliss, happiness of his Son. That's what he wants. That's what he wants for the believing heart. To be able to have the privilege of knowing the Father as a son. Not a son, as the Son of God does. You're an heir, a joint heir with the Father, with the Son, the Father. So God, you meant us to have a unique, awesome relationship to you. That's correct. Now, so here in Ephesians, the heavenlies, remember, going, if I can, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So God, we have huge heavenly resource and riches. No question. Now, I'll read the context a little. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him in Christ, when, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated, like in Romans, marked out ahead of time, he marked out ahead of time, he gave us a horizon where he's sending us, he having predestinated us unto the adoption to be placed as sons, adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to whose desire? According to the good pleasure of his will. God, it is your good pleasure to do good. It has nothing to do with me or you. God wants to do good because he is good. That's what he does. He has to be who he is. And he exercises. The goodness of God will lead you to repentance. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Sliding at verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. That's right. Which he purposed in himself. So the good pleasure of a good God being good is all up to God. So when you look and walk around up and down the street, work, home, school, whatever you're doing, don't you understand? The God who created you wants good. Now whether Israel doesn't understand that, they aren't exercising that as a nation. And most of the people that say they're believers have no sense of that. No sense of that. No enjoyment of that. Because we're all wrapped up in our little old self. And I hate self, don't you? I do. I hate self. Be glad when I get rid of it. Wow. Now, in the process, God, that's what you want. Aha. Uh-huh. Chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Uh-huh. 4, and God, you did the whole thing yourself. Uh-huh. It's my plan to save every human being that would believe. 4, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What about them? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So before anything, before you ever was on planet Earth, God had that in mind for you before the world ever began. God saw you. Christ would die for you before the foundation of the world. His Son of God has not entered a human flesh. There is no Bethlehem. There is no Judea. Just emptiness, but God is there. And God, you saw us in yourself long before, and if you saw us all human beings, you died for them. And all the human beings had to do was believe. That's all. And God, here they are, and in they are looking, and you have a wonderful plan for their life. That's right. My thoughts, as we do many times in Isaiah 40 and Psalm 139, my thoughts to you are more than the sand of the sea. And you have to sort of go to bed with that. My thoughts to you are more than the sand of the sea. For good. You want that all worked out? I do. We've said it 1,000 times. But have we heard it yet? Has it sunk in yet? That's what God wants. He didn't change. I can't change it. If the Lord tarries another year, we're going to say the same thing again. God doesn't change anything. The same stuff. Over and over and over. Till you get it. Practice it. You have not learned it or understand it until you can practice it. It's part of your life. When it's part of your life, you can say, I know that. Until it's part of your life, you don't know it yet. You know about it, but you don't know it. And that helps us, so we don't get all huffy-puffy, we know everything, whatever. We don't. God help us all. Now, in the light of that, God, you have good works for us. That's right. It's a wonderful thing you have. All of tomorrow, God, you already know about it. And if we live that long, which is up to you, and we live that long, then you already know about tomorrow. So God, am I going to find you in the middle of tomorrow? Am I going to look for your will? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And in Philippians chapter 2, picking up, please, to the believing heart, verse 12, 2 and 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only when I'm there, but now much more when I'm not there even, I'm in jail, writing, but now much more in my absence, work out your own, no one else's, draw a little circle and stand in it, don't look for husband, wife, brother, sister, boy, girl, daughter, son, government, or anyone else. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling and exercise it. Don't think it's some silly little thing. It's an awesome thing to be in the will of God, to be in the presence of God, to know the grace of God. That's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing, God. Wow. And verse 13, it's so awesome. It is God which worketh in you, both to will, we already read that, to know his will, his good pleasure, it is his will, to do of his, there's your little word, good pleasure. God, you want to do your good pleasure. So when I'm working out your wonderful plan for my life, you're going to do that which you have in mind, and it is your pleasure. It is your good pleasure to do it. I'm pleased to do it. You understand? It's hard, isn't it? No, it can't be. It is. It is. Wow. Say, well, no one else does it. Well, that's true. That's why it's missed. That's why we're in trouble. Why we're in trouble. Wow, our country, etc. Now, so in that, over to Hebrews 13 in closing. Hebrews chapter 13. Here we are looking, and here's the book of Hebrews now. We're to come boldly to the what? Throne of grace. That's what we're going to do. Find mercy. Grace. We're going to come to God. And God, what are we praying for? What are we here for? To get exercised. Now, we can pray about all kinds of things that you might want to think about. But when it's done, history, a long history of observation, it just doesn't go anywhere. What goes somewhere is when you have been moved by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, to think God's thoughts after Him. And when you are in the highest, bestest mood and movement to pray. Then you're praying. Then there's power. There's privilege. That's when it works. And everything else comes into play pain, headache, heartache, much, little, easy, hard, many, few, bad, worse, all things work together for good, because you know it, and you do know it. And so, God, you're going to work everything out. So all of a sudden, there's never such bad things. Only good things that come out good, even though they're bad. Wow. Hebrews chapter 13, you're going to close, God, in helping us with immaturity, as you did the book of Hebrews. Chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. And then you add, to do His will. You want God's will and God's good working. Working all things together for good. Working in you, in you. You got it. Good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Wow. God, that's your will. It is. So God, our prayer request is just what we read. That's what we want, God. We want that for our little lives. God, we want to make sure we know you as a Savior. God, we want to say that's good. And we want to get to the place where we say with the fullness of heart, God, you are good. No matter who, what, when, where, how, you are good. No matter how you cut the cookie. And that's what you want to get to. And then you're in a place to exercise and enjoy that which you're going to do forever if you're saved. Jeremiah, you went through a whole lot. But boy, we're trying to learn from you. We're trying to learn. And God, we're here to learn from Jeremiah. Pray not for the good. Our world system, apostasy, apathy, indifference, but not for the believing heart. On the contrary, you're looking for good. You want good. It is your desire for good. You're going to make heaven and earth move for our good. Wow. Wow. So perhaps you have a particular prayer request as we go. Remember the Bible school that took place. Remember the country.